theme. A lot of the songs were like,
good morning. Glad to be here with each one of you this morning. I'm glad to be able to worship in this house. Thought about that one, what he shared about whatever happens next door with that building, and how he said, however we respond to it, will make the difference. I think about that as we look at Daniel this morning. And turn with me to Daniel chapter 1. We'll look a little bit at Daniel's life here this morning. I think of his response to some of the different situations that happened in his life. My title here this morning would be Daniel Walks Circumspectly, or Walking Circumspectly. We'll look a little more at what that means here in a minute. As I think about Daniel's life and what he had to go through from an early age, I don't know how old he was when he got taken into captivity. It says that he was a young man. But here, as we think about this young man going into, having grown up in a different culture, having been taken away captive from Judah, and going into Babylon to serve the king, and some of the things that he had to go through, some of the decisions, some of the things, the processing going through his mind that he had to process, some of the decisions he had to make. Let's start by looking at a few verses here. Let's start by reading in chapter 1, verse 3. I'm reading out of the New King James here this morning, so it may be a little different. Verse 3, then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants, and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge, quick to understand, who had the ability to serve in the king's palace, whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. The king appointed to them a daily provision of the king's delicacies, of the wine which he drank, 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of the time they might serve before the king. Jump over to verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. We'll stop there for now. As we look here at Daniel as a young man, and the request that the king is making for the type of people that he wants to serve in his kingdom, he's looking for a specific type of people. He was looking for young men whom they were good-looking, no blemish. So we can assume here that Daniel was a good-looking young man, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge, quick to understand, had ability to serve. So that the king wanted people, young men, whom he could bring in, who were able to be quick to understand what he was going to teach them, what he wanted to teach them. It says here, later on, it says that he wanted to teach them for 3 years. Some of the things that he wanted to teach them was the language and the literature of the Chaldeans. And if you look into any of that, that's pretty much, is very different than what the Jewish culture, which Daniel would have grown up in. It was very occultic practices, stuff that they would have not agreed with at all. But the king wanted to educate the people that are going to be serving him to understand the language and the literature of what their belief system. All right. So the other thing that he did is he appointed daily provisions for them of the king's drink, his wine, and his food. And at this point here, Daniel says, no, I'm not going to go that far. He says, verse 8 there says, he purposed in his heart that he would not do this, that he would not defile himself with the king's delicacies. So I'm not sure if this was something that he had purposed ahead of time going into this, knowing that this might happen, or why exactly he said, I'm not going to do this, but yet something else that would have been okay with, thinking about the literature and the language that they were going to teach him. He was okay. He was accepting that. All right, I'll learn that, but I'm not going to allow myself to go so far as to put myself I'm not sure if it's, there could have been a couple of reasons. It could have been because they served the wine and their drink offered them to idols. But also could have been because Daniel just decided, I'm not going to go that far. I'm not going to take myself to be one with the king in that way, that my allegiance is to somebody higher. And so Daniel, in his wisdom, as a young man, we see his wisdom right away here. And we see his wisdom. He didn't just say, no, I'm not going to do this. And so whatever you guys decide, I'm not going to do it. He came out, he had a plan himself. He said, why don't you do a test? Why don't you do a test? And the eunuch, the chief of the eunuchs first said, I'm going to get in trouble here. You know, he was worried about Daniel and the guys looking worse. And he was worried about his image. And Daniel said, well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you do a test, see how we look after, I forget how many days it is. And they do it another matter of 10 days. And they do the test, and obviously they look better than if they would have drank the king's wine and delicacies. So Daniel here, in the early part of his life here, and what we know about him, we see him being faithful in standing up for something that he believed in. We see him, the word that we used earlier, is walking circumspectly. That's what I want to look at this morning. So what's circumspectly? Well, the definition to being circumspectly is to look around, to take careful consideration, to avoid mistakes. It also means to be diligent, accurate, and precise. So as we think about Daniel's decision here, he was taking careful consideration. He was also trying to avoid any mistakes, be diligent and accurate in what he believed about his God. And I think that as we continue to look here at Daniel's life, we will see his commitment to God was, he wanted to take careful consideration of the things that he did so that he was not, he was giving a good view of his God. Now, if you just were to do a quick overview, if we look through the next couple chapters, we see that we know that Daniel, King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream and wanted somebody to answer it. And Daniel sought God and wisdom from God and found an answer to explain Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And then we go into the next chapter. We see the young men being able to be faithful. Daniel's friends, and they did not bow down to the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Nebuchadnezzar then had a second dream, and through this, in verse 8 of chapter 4, we see talking about Daniel, and it says, in him is the spirit of the holy God. As they were talking about Daniel, they said, in him is the spirit of the holy God. At this point, they were seeing in Daniel's life through some different activities as he handled some different situations that he was different than some of the other people. They realized that he had the spirit of the holy God in him. You go into chapter 5. Now it's under another king, King Belshazzar, and with the writing on the wall. And once again, it says down in verse 11, the queen, King Belshazzar, he's kind of greatly troubled and freaking out about this writing on the wall. And the queen says, wait a second. She says here, verse 10, the king saying, O king, live forever. Do not let your thoughts trouble you. Let your countenance change. There is a man in his kingdom who is the spirit of the holy God. Once again, even the queen herself was recognizing that there was something different in Daniel's life. He was starting to be realized as somebody that had the Spirit of God in him. Now I want to look at a little bit at chapter 6 again. So if he's not turned there now, you can turn there to chapter 6. And here we have Daniel again under the reign of Darius here. And throughout these different kings, as they change, he continues to keep his high position in some leadership there and in oversight as he's goes through these different kings. Let's read first four verses here in chapter 6. And it pleased Darius to set up a kingdom, over the kingdom 120 satraps, to be over the whole kingdom, and over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, and the satraps might give account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. Then Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because there was an excellent spirit in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and the staff sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. As we see it, see this different setting here with this new king. This new king wanted to set up his kingdom in a way that it was nothing was missed, so that there would be oversight in the different areas of the kingdom. So he set up these different staraps. Here is my version, but these different governors or princes or whatever in the different areas to have oversight in the different towns, so they would not be missed. Then he had three governors over the different provinces or whatever to watch over them, and Daniel was one of them. And the king just wanted to make sure there was he wasn't missing anything. He suffered no loss, verse 2 says. Then, verse 3, it says that once again we see this phrase where there was an excellent spirit in him. And the king was able to see this and saw too that there was something different about Daniel. There's this different spirit in him. And he thought about putting him over the whole kingdom and maybe even over the other three governors. And word of this got back to the other governors in the staraps, and they sought to find something against Daniel, find something wrong with his life. And I just imagine that if somebody would do that to me, what kind of worry that would put me into. I'm like, okay, why, you know, somebody looking into my life and seeing if there's fault. Look what happened, though. It says they looking for fault against Daniel, they found no charge or fault because he was faithful and there was no error or fault found in him. As I think about circumspectly and being trying to avoid mistakes and trying to be precise and in our walks, Daniel here had a life where they looked at his life deeply and couldn't find anything in his life that was wrong. They looked they're going to find a reason to find something wrong with him, and they couldn't find one. They could not find one. There wasn't any error or fault in him. And I think about the character of David, of what we looked so far through these couple chapters. We found that seeing him not compromising in chapter 1. He's also faithful to God in his different position. He's put in these high positions, called to show wisdom, and he was faithful in doing that. His spirit, he was found to have the spirit of God by a bunch of different people. And even here, this king, too, recognized it. And they, as these leaders interrogated his life, they couldn't find any error or fault in him. And I think about that in my life. Would people be able to look in my life and say that? And I say, well, I don't think they could. I think they'd be able to find some areas where I slip up and fall. And I know that. I know it happens on time to time when I have to go back to somebody and say I'm sorry because I messed up. But I still think that's what we should strive to be like. I still think that we should still strive to have a life that is so circumspect, why we're walking so right, that people can't find fault in it. Let's keep on reading here. Verse 5 says, "Then these men said, 'We shall not find any charge against Daniel unless we find it concerning the law of his God.'" And I thought that was that's a pretty good characteristic again, too, that they knew that there's nothing in Daniel. They looked at his life, they couldn't find nothing wrong with him. Now we're going to have to go to his God. And if we can find something against the law of his God, which he is doing, then we can find some. Then we can know. We know he's not going to mess up, that he's going to be faithful there. So for them to know that he was going to be so faithful and serving his God, that he was going to go against whatever they came up with, showed some characteristics of Daniel again, of his commitment to his God. It says, so these governors kind of came up with a plan then. Let's read verses 6 through 9. These governors and staffs thrown before the king, and they said thus to him, "King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom's administrators, staffs, counselors, advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute to make a firm decree that whosoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree, sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which is not altered. Therefore, King Darius signed a written decree." So they came up with a plan. They kind of conned up a plan, a decree, that was going to be put into place, that got the king to sign it so that it could not be changed, that he would be, that he would, because they knew that he was going to continue to petition his God and cry out to his God. And that was, and they knew that they could trap him in that, and then they could find fault with him and take it back to the king. Now let's look at verse 10 and see what Daniel does with it. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since the early days. And I think about that verse right there, and I'm like, wow. Daniel knew what was going to happen. Daniel knew what was written, I should say. He knew what was written, what was signed. He knew that they were going to be watching. He knew that they were going to try to find fault with him. And he had purposed in his heart, like before, that he's going to continue to do it how he does. He went home. He didn't go to try to go find a cave somewhere where he could hide and get away from this. He stayed right there in his home with his windows open towards Jerusalem like he always did. Three times that day, he gave thanks, as was his custom. And I don't think it was just his custom that he was doing it. He was used to doing it like that. I think it was his commitment to God and knowing that he served a God that was powerful enough to save him throughout whatever happens with this. And so these guys went back and said, hey, we found Daniel. We found him not wanting to change his ways. I think verse 13 says, he does not show regard for you. He does not show due regard for you, O king. And that's a sign there once again of him having allegiance to somebody higher than the king. He was very faithful in serving in his positions. He was able to serve in these leadership positions, but he also had allegiance to somebody higher. Verse 14, the king was grieved by this. He knew that he had kind of been tricked, and he tried to set all day long, he tried to come up with a reason how he could deliver Daniel, and he could not. He knew he was going to have to go through with what he signed. Then in verse 16, I like what he says here. He says, so the king gave a command and brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke to Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. As the king said this to Daniel, I see that the king is recognizing that there's power in a God that Daniel had his faith in. He's saying, I know that your God, whom you serve continually, he saw that Daniel served him faithfully. He said, I know that God, he can deliver you. And what a witness that was already to his, as Daniel was faithful in his life, serving these different kings, they saw a change in his life. They saw a change in him. He was having a great impact on the people who he was around because of his faithfulness to God, because of the way he walked, because he walked circumspectly. So verse 19, we have the king tried to sleep. Verse 18, the king was trying to sleep that night. He couldn't sleep. Very early the next morning, I'm thinking of him going, walking through the dewy grass while it's almost still dark yet, and going over to the den. And as he gets there, you can kind of see him. It says here, yeah, in verse 20, it even says, with a lamenting voice, he cried out to Daniel. And he says, once again, he says this phrase which he said earlier, Daniel, the servant of the living God, whom you serve continually, or he says in the question, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? And Daniel responds to him. As he stands there waiting for a response, thinking whether or not he might hear a response, he says that he's already lamenting. He hears a voice saying, O king, live forever. Just imagine the chills that went down through his back as he heard a voice respond back to him, and seeing the power of the living God, whom he had said, told Daniel that his God could do it. I'm not sure whether he totally believed in that or not, but imagine what actually was going through his mind at that time. And I think of, I have to read here at the end. I'm going to read verses 26 and 27 here yet. Look at the change that the king made because of this. He says, this is the impact that Daniel's life, because of his faithfulness, the impact that it had on other people and the decisions that came from it. Here's this. The king said, I made a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before God of Daniel, for he is a living God, steadfast forever. His kingdom shall not be destroyed. His dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. This king now had from all this made it, the impact that it had, it went back to that whole kingdom. That whole, he said, everyone in my kingdom must tremble and fear the God of Daniel, the God of Daniel. The impact that got passed down from one man walking circumspectly and showing and continuing to be faithful where God had planted him, whether he wanted to be there or not. And turn with me to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. As I think about this, I think about how Paul talked to the Ephesians here in another time in the early church, where they were living in a situation as well. Start having an early church where in Ephesus, they were not in that was not a great community to be in. There was a lot of evilness going on in that city. I was preaching this at Word of Life, and I made a mistake, and Kate corrected me later, so I'll try not to make it here again this morning. But when I was there, I said that they were serving the Princess Diana, and it is the Goddess Diana, not the Princess Diana. I had no clue that I said it, though. But they were serving the Goddess Diana. There was a temple there that there was much worship of this Goddess Diana, and as the early church was planted, there, Paul is writing to them and encouraging them in how they should live their lives in this letter to the Ephesians here. And I look back here in chapter 4. I'm going to get to chapter 5. But in chapter 4, he starts out. Listen to how he starts out talking to them here in 4. He says, "Therefore, as a prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you to walk worthy to which you were called, with all loving kindness, long-suffering, bearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." He is calling them to walk in unity together. He's also calling them to walk in humility. He's talking about their walk. In the next little bit here, in these couple chapters, he's talking about how they walk and calling them to walk in humility, calling them to walk in unity among each other. Go to chapter 5. He starts out chapter 5. He says, Therefore be imitators of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us as an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Telling them to walk in love, showing them again ways to live this out in an evil society, and also a way to continue to grow their church together. It wasn't just outside the church. He's talking about them inside the church here as well. Next thing, you go down to verse 8 there in chapter 5. It says, "You were once in darkness, but you are now in the light. Walk as children of light." Walk in the light. He's calling them to walk in the light as children of light. Just continuing to encourage them in their walks. And that's what I want to do here this morning. As we think about, looked at Daniel's life, and looked about out how he was faithful in his life, and the impact that it had on other people, How can we, too, also walk circumspectly as he did? And the verse I want to look at here is verse 15. It says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, as wise. So as we think about what that means, what does it mean for us to walk circumspectly? That's not a word that we use very often. But I gave a definition of it here earlier, of how it means to look around, to take careful consideration, to avoid mistakes, diligent, accurate, precise. How can we do that in our Christian walk? How can we take those steps in our Christian walk and live that out? And I have a few points to look at that. The one word that I see here in my Bible, the first word here in verse 15, it says, "See then that you walk circumspectly." See, the word see, meaning to look, or to observe, to take consideration, to make sure that you're actually doing it. It's not just saying, make sure you're walking circumspectly. It's saying, see then that you do it. Observe. Make sure it's happening. Make sure it's happening, that you're walking in a way that is diligent, accurate, and precise to the people around you. I have 3 points here this morning, and they all start with the letter D. 3 words that I want us to think about here as we think about walking circumspectly. The first word that I have here this morning is to be diligent. To be diligent. And as I'm trying to think of what diligent might look like, one of the first pictures I get is a picture of a student sitting at their desk at school. Somebody that's being diligent is somebody that's working hard at their work. They're not putting their head up, looking around. They're not talking to their neighbor, but they're working that hard at what is before them. They're putting their mind to it. And as we think about walking circumspectly, it's not something that's just going to happen. It's not something that's going to happen by itself. It's something that we're going to have to put our mind to. We're going to have to see then that it happens. We have to pay attention. I think also of a tightrope walker. I'll refer to him here a little bit as we talk about these different things. Think about a tightrope walker. As a tightrope walker gets on a rope, he watches and he pays attention to every step that he's taking. He's aware of every movement of the wind that's blowing. He's aware of any slight movement that might be happening. Any deviation in his steps or inaccuracy of how he walks can result in a fall. But he's being diligent on that rope, making sure that he's paying attention and doing to the things around us. So what's going on around us? What kind of things are happening around us? Are we being diligent to in the things that are going on around us, to our settings that are happening all around us from every side? Are we being diligent and faithful in the work that is before us, to what God has called us to in our Christian walks? Are we observing every step that we're taking, making sure we're on the right path, making sure our walk is looking how it should? I think back to Daniel. He didn't cave into the pressure that was around him. He wasn't lax in making wise decisions. He was diligent in that. He was being observant in how he handled himself every day. He was being diligent in making sure that his life was being handled for God, so that it didn't portray God in a wrong light. He walked circumspectly every day and all day. And I think we see that by people recognizing that there was a different spirit in him. People recognized that there was a spirit of God was in him. Let's read these next couple verses here. Verse 15. Let's read verses 16, 17, 18. It says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, which is dispensation, but be filled with the Spirit." And as I think about that, as they looked at Daniel's life and saw that he was different, they saw that he had the Spirit of God with him. We now today have the Holy Spirit that is with us each and every day and can lead us and direct us. But let's be filled with the Holy Spirit as we make our decisions in life. Let's be diligent in them. So the first one is diligent. The second one I have here this morning is discerning. To be discerning as we're walking circumspectly, let's be discerning in the things that are in front of us, and making wise decisions of which is the right thing to do. Let's look at these verses here again. These verses say that we are to be not as fools but as wise, and in the verse 17 there again says, "Therefore, be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Daniel was wise, had to use wisdom in a bunch of different situations as he served the kings. We, as we go through life too, have to discern things that are in front of us, different situations. It might be relationships, it might be financial things, it might be spiritual things, but we have to discern things that are in front of us, which is the way to go. It says also, understand what the will of the Lord is. How do we understand what the will of the Lord is? I think the only way we're going to understand what God's will is for us and be able to discern that is through His Scripture and through the principles that are in His Word, to discern what God has for us. Once again, thinking of the tightrope walker, he is not going to just as he's going out on that rope and standing on that rope, he's going to have to discern each step that he takes. If there's wind movement, he has to discern whether to stop or to stay or to take a step. He has to discern how to get through that, to continue on, because he's not going to just stop and stand out there forever either. He will have to continue on. So he has to be discerning as he goes through our walk. I think of Daniel too, as we look at his different circumstances that he was in with his life. He did not get stuck on not moving forward in things. When he was in a situation where he had a circumstance to make a decision, he went ahead. He had to use wisdom, and because he sought God, there was a verse I think in chapter 2 or 3, where it says that him and his friends sought God for wisdom of what they should do, way they should answer a dream. They were being discerning. As we walk, let's be discerning. And the third thing I have here this morning is to be definite in our walk. To be definite. So as Daniel was going through his walk, he had to be sure and definite that the steps he was taking were the right ones to take. He was definite that God was going to be faithful when he was thrown in with the lions. Verses there again say, therefore be not unwise. Telling us to be not unwise. Unwise is kind of meaning to be ignorant. Let's not go through life being ignorant. And the other thing that Paul says here to them, he tells them don't be as fools here. Be not unwise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Okay, we have to redeem our time. We have to realize that we have to take definite steps through life because there's not a lot of time. Redeem the time that's left. Because the days are evil. And don't go through our life just in a reckless manner. He's asking them to be wise as they do it. As you take these walk in these different ways, do it definitely. So three things we have here this morning are to be diligent as we walk circumspectly, to be discerning, and to be definite. And don't be reckless. Paul's just wanting them to understand what the will of the Lord is, understand to stay in God's word, and to, as they continue to look at their walks. I wanted to look at, just for a second here, you just don't have to turn to it, but Psalms 101. David here has a psalm here in Psalms 101 that he's making a vow or a profession of godliness. And as David makes this vow or profession of godliness, I think about look at the words he says here. He says, I will sing of mercy and justice to you, O God, to you, O Lord, I will sing praises. Now this is his vow he makes. He says, I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know wickedness. David here is saying, as we're looking at our lives, thinking about, can we make a profession like this to God? Can we make a profession like David did here to God and say, I will behave wisely in a perfect way, God. I want to walk perfectly within my house. He uses the word walk here too, as we're thinking about walking circumspectly. Saying, I want to walk in a perfect way within my house, with a perfect heart. I want to walk with a perfect heart. In closing, you can turn with me to Jude. Jude chapter 24 and 25, as we think about doing this, and say, maybe thinking, well, I'm not able to do that. How am I able to move forward to this? Make sure that I'm doing this, making sure that I'm doing this. Well, we serve a God who is faithful. And look at these verses here. As Jude concludes this benediction, he says, now to him who is able to keep you from falling, or keep you from stumbling and present you faultless. He says, now to him, now to God who is able to keep you from stumbling. God is the one who, as we walk, he's the one who's going to be able to keep us from stumbling. And he's also going to present us faultless. Are we faultless? Are we without fault? Well, absolutely not. Not in ourselves, but with Christ, he will present us as faultless. And let me just read this here as we close, and then we'll close with a word of prayer. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power both now and forevermore. Amen. Let's pray. God, I thank you again for your word. Thank you for an example of Daniel, who walked circumspectly through his life, and that it had impact on those around him. Or as I think about us in the church now today, as we try to apply this to our lives and walk circumspectly so that we too can have impact on the people around us, I pray that we can be diligent and be discerning and be definite in our walk with you, that we can be faithful and point others to you through the ways that we present our lives. I pray for the church here. Pray too as that they would continue to prepare their hearts here this week too, as they have revivals coming up this week as well. I pray this in your name. Amen.